Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Today we sang in our hymn in the early part of the service, we sang, trust and obey. It takes a lot of trust to do this, my friends, and obedience too. I'm not sure I want to do this, Jesus. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. I want to run away from them. Not love them, not do good for them, not bless them, not pray for them. Not really. Not when it's hard, like it is in every one of these cases. We want the easy, comfortable, non-meddlesome gospel. The gospel that doesn't inflict any kind of requirement upon us. It does it all on everybody else, and we can just be ourselves and be normal and not have to change anything. So that's what we want. We don't like a gospel that stomps on our toes. Ow. This is tough stuff, friends. The commandments of Jesus are not easy. They call forth from us faith, hope, and love. They call forth from us responsibility and a willingness to obey. But they do not call forth from us judgment, arrogance, or considering the other as less than or inferior to you. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, turn the other cheek. When I was a kid, I thought that the cheeks were the gluteus maximus. So when I was a kid, I thought that meant that you were supposed to, you know, well, okay. Kinda. This is the cheek, of course. Turn the other cheek. Give even your shirt if your coat is taken. Oh, it could be cold. Yep. Give to everyone who begs from you. Don't try to get back the stuff that someone has stolen. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is called the Golden Rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's actually found in a broad range of religions, many ancient and many predating Jesus. A 7th century BC papyrus manuscript from Egypt quotes it this way: that which you hate to be done to you, do not do to another. Which illustrates, of course, that the Golden Rule can be stated both positively and negatively. This Egyptian version relates it negatively, which would actually be safer than how Jesus stated it. Another way of putting it is, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Wow. Back in 2012, there was a funny Dilbert cartoon that attempted to poke fun at the Golden Rule on this very point. There it is. We can make this a great place to work by following the Golden Rule, he says. Treat others as you would want them to treat you. That's dumb, says Dilbert. It's not dumb. Let's test your rule, says Dilbert. Would you like it if someone gave you $100? Well, yes, he says. Okay, so give me $100, or else forever live as a hypocrite who doesn't follow his own dumb rule. And notice the response. I hate your engineering guts. At least you're making sense now, Dilbert says. Oh. The wild thing, my friends, is that this makes sense. Dilbert is kind of right, and it sounds like it equates with what Jesus said when he said, give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Ooh. Give me $100.
Really?
It's going to be on a credit card.
I don't have a swiper. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wow. If it had been that easy, I would have asked for that a long time ago. The problem is that when stated positively or negatively, the agency of initiative, the one who is the actor, has responsibility for determining the degree and the nature of the treatment of the other. Huh? Let's say it again. It calls for responsible agency on our part. It calls for those of us in power to treat others without power as we would like to be treated. It calls for those of us who have the privilege to act to treat those we act upon in ways that we ourselves would like. It calls for us to be responsible and to behave towards other people the way we would like to be behaved towards ourselves. When we act, not when, as Dilbert did it, demanding something from someone else, but when we act, we behave as we would like to be behaved upon. We don't mistreat, we don't abuse. We treat fairly and honestly, with balance in our lives. It calls for us who have the privilege to act, to treat those we act upon in ways that we ourselves would like. Wow. Do to others as you would have them do to you. You know, that sounds better, but it's open to this perversion by what my mother would call a smart aleck, or what I would use with a different letter A word. The prohibitive version of the golden rule avoids this problem. It was the preferred version in ancient Greece. Avoid doing what you would blame others for doing. Or do not do to others that which angers you when they do it to you. That's what Socrates said, by the way, in the 4th century BC. In Rome, during the lifetime of Jesus, Seneca the Younger, who was a Stoic, said it interestingly when lecturing about how to treat one's employees. Treat your inferior as you would wish your superior to treat you. In Judaism, the idea was well known. Hillel the Elder, writing about the time of Jesus' childhood, wrote something that got incorporated into the Talmud. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. Go and learn. It's even found in several versions of Islam, in several different places in the Quran. My point is this. Jesus' golden rule is true. No matter where you run into it, no matter what culture you may be in, no matter what century you lived in, even if you lived before the time of Jesus, the golden rule is true. It's not up for debate. It's not unique to Christianity. It is truth, without question. As we would expect it to be, being found in the core of Jesus' teachings. So why are we so terrible at doing it? No. Sometimes it's horribly twisted as do unto others before they do unto you. What a cynical retort. But I sure understand it. We live our lives as best we can. We fail, we stumble, we fall. And sadly, things happen to us that hurt us. We are abused, we are neglected, we are ignored, we are hurt. And the desire is there to hurt back, the desire is there to get our pound of flesh, the desire is there to make things even again. But Jesus says, no. And he goes on to say no even more. Do not judge, he said, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. But we like judging, and we certainly like condemning. But we don't like to be judged, do we? And we don't like being condemned, do we? Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Oh, we want to be forgiven, but we don't like forgiving too much. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, we put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The spiritual principle is one of reciprocity. And it's true no matter how you cut it. As you treat others is how you will be treated. As you judge others is how you will be judged. Think about it. When we say and pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our Episcopalian friends say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's a little more blunt, isn't it? Our Presbyterian friend says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I like that one. That really just speaks to me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ooh. You notice what's implied in there? If you don't, you won't. Huh? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh, I'm not really good at forgiving those who trespass against me. Well, then don't expect to be forgiven. Well, I want to be forgiven. Oh, good. Then forgive. Well, I don't want to forgive. I'm sorry. That's not an option. Well, I want to hold grudges. I want to hold things over people. I want to get my pound of flesh back. Sorry. That's Jesus' department. That's God's job, not ours. Well, I don't want to forgive. Well, then don't expect to be forgiven. I made my first confession when I was in the monastery. I had a spiritual director, Father Paul, and I went and I spent days with him working through my list of sins and page after page after page that I discerned throughout my life, from my childhood all the way up into my adulthood, page after page after page after page of sin. Things I had done. Things I had forgotten to do. Things that I had done willfully. Happily, things that I had done by mistake and fallen into. It was a big list. And I remember we went into that session that morning and we started. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is my first confession. Yes, my son, open your heart to the Lord and speak. And I began. And with everyone, I thought he'd just get angrier and or angrier. I expected him to get up and walk out and say, we're not going to have you anymore in our community. That never happened. With every sin that I had committed, and with every grudge that I still hold, with every pain that I still sinned about, with every sin that I was still committing to that very day, not just the things of the past, but the things that were present, with everyone that I delineated across those hours as I confessed those sins, I felt as though there's no way I could ever be forgiven. The darkness and the gloom became deeper and deeper as I realized what I had done in my actions and in my inactions, in my unwillingness to forgive others, and the grudges that I was still holding, and the things that I was still doing. Sin after sin, after sin, after sin, after sin. The thing I noticed, that the one thing that is present in the middle of every sin, we'll talk about this again, but the one thing that was present in the middle of every sin was I. That great big I was in the middle of every sin. The more I held my grudges, the more I held the sins that others had committed against me, against them, the more I ended up sinning. The more I ended up missing the mark of God's will for me. The more pain that I created for me. The more darkness and the deeper the hole that I dug for me. At the end of the time of confession, it was quiet in the room. Silence lasted for over a minute. And Father Paul, 84 years old, looked over his glasses at me and said, "Is there anything else?" And sure enough, I started again with another sin. And something else that had come to me while I had been working on this and as I'd been confessing these sins. And another, and then another, and then another. "Is there anything more?" he asked. And yes, another couple came to mind. And then he asked a third time, "Is there anything else?" And I said, "No." And he said to me that the deepest part of my sin existed in that place where I refused to forgive others. The deepest part of my sin and its most drastic impact on me resided in that place within me that refused to let go of the sins of others against me. And hence the damage that was done to me in some cases 20 years before was still doing damage to me by my own sinfulness in refusing to let go and forgive. And then he taught me a spiritual discipline, one that has stuck with me to this day. He said, "I want you to place your hands up and then ball them into a fist. And then turn them upside down and hang on. And in your mind, I want you to put into your fists everything that you have done, everything you have not done, everything that you have sinned about through commission or omission, every sin that you can think of, and all the sins that you cannot remember. Put them in your fists and hang on tight." And then he stood, after I'd done that for a few moments, and he placed his hands on my head, and he prayed, "May God, the Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forgive you your sins. In Jesus' name, amen." And when he said those things, when he said that line, when he prayed that prayer and made the sign of cross over my head, I felt my hands let go. And the sins that I had been holding on to, some for 25 years, went away. To this day, when I pray for forgiveness, I begin by balling my fists up to hang on to those sins that I'm getting ready to let go. And then when the words of absolution are prayed, I release them. And I feel them go. I offer this discipline to you. I offer you to you now. Take your hands, put them out, make a fist, and then turn them over. And now in your mind, project into your fists the sins that you have committed. Start with the things you did today and yesterday. The words that you spoke that you should not have spoken. The things that you did that you shouldn't have done. The words that you should have spoken that you didn't. The things that you should have done that you didn't. Now go back another day. And another. And another. And project into your hands these sins. Ball your fists tight as if you're gonna slip and fall. Hold on tight. And now, listen to me. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Let go. And let God take them. Forgive. And you will be forgiven. It's as simple as that. It's as powerful as that. Forgive. And you will be forgiven. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Pray, bless those who hate and curse you. Do good to them who hate you. Love as you have been loved. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Give as you have received. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen. In your prayer.